Today, private health insurance is sick. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The ACCC just released their 21st report into the private health insurance sector, which analyses key competition and consumer developments and trends in the private health insurance industry to the 30th of June 2019. And these issues may well affect consumers' health cover and out-of-pocket expenses. And in summary, the system is unwell. Private health insurance premiums rise faster than income, despite growing exclusions. And for the first time, the majority of hospital treatment policies held by Australians now contain exclusions, with more than 57% of policies containing exclusions, up from 44% in the previous year. And this, by the way, chimes with our household surveys, which shows that more younger people are jettisoning their policies or not signing up in the first place. And this is, of course, a wicked problem, as the greater proportion of sick people are in the system, it means that costs are becoming more concentrated. Plus, the ACCC notes that consumer data collected by private health insurers and other businesses, for example, through well-being apps and reward schemes, can be used for a number of purposes, such as targeted marketing, including from third parties. Key industry data used and relied on by the ACCC includes industry statistics and data collected by the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority, or APRA, and private health insurance complaints data from the Private Health Insurance Ombudsman. As at the 30th of June 2019, 13.6 million Australians, or 53.6% of the population, had some form of private health insurance. And this represents a membership reduction of 0.6% from June 2018, when it was at 54.2%. The Australian population grew by 396,722, or almost 1.6% during this period. The decline is sharpest among younger age groups. The five largest health insurers have a combined market share of almost 79.5% and contributed to almost 77.5% of total health fund benefits paid in 2018-19, with Bupa and Medibank contributing 26.7% and 25% respectively. The average premium increase of 4.8% per year over this period has been higher than the average annual growth in the wage price index at 2.1% and the consumer price index at 1.6% over the same period. And while the rate of the average yearly premium has been decreasing each year over the past 5 years and was 3.25% in 2018-19, the average industry premium change for 2020 to take effect on the 1st of April 2020 will be 2.92%, still well above wages growth. And from June 2018 to June 2019, the proportion of hospital policies held with exclusions increased by almost 14%. For the first time, the majority of policies held now have exclusions. And the number of exclusionary policies held increased by over 650,000 from June 2018 to September 2018, with an equivalent reduction in non-exclusionary policies during the same period. APRA statistics did not indicate the reasons for this rise in the number of exclusionary policies during the reporting period. However, analysis by Sylvester and others has suggested that less expensive exclusionary policies may appeal both to existing policyholders whose policies have become unaffordable, as well as to young people buying health insurance to avoid LHC loading and the Medicare levy surcharge. While most in-hospital services are delivered with no gap payments required from patients, this rate has varied in recent years, from a low of less than 85% of services not requiring a gap payment in September 2015 to almost 89% in March 2018, before falling again to under 87% in June 2019. And from June 2018 to June 2019, the average gap expense incurred by a consumer for hospital treatment was $314.51, an increase of 1.9% from the previous year. Average gap payments for extras treatment increased by almost 4% to $49.20 over the same period. A YouGov survey from late 2019 found that after the cost of premiums and a perceived lack of value for money, out-of-pocket costs were a leading reason given by respondents for no longer holding private health insurance. Several health insurers offer reward schemes for their members, some of which involve the use of fitness tracking apps and devices to record activities such as steps and sleep. Some of these apps operate in conjunction with companies other than health insurers. For example, the health insurers MoHealth and GMHBA are both partnered with the life insurer AIA Australia Limited and use the AIA Vitality Program issued by AIA. An HCF has also entered into a partnership with Flybuys, where new HCF members can collect Flybuys points based on their annual health cover premiums. Qantas, which offers health insurance issued by NIB, also offers frequent flyer points for members who download the Qantas Wellbeing app and undertake certain activities. Its Qantas Wellbeing program terms and conditions state that members must link a tracking device to record their physical activity, and that as members they consent to Qantas, quote, collecting, using and disclosing any personal information, including health and well-being information, submitted by the member through joining or use of the well-being program or collected by Qantas through the tracking device or the Qantas well-being app. Although Australians can receive benefits from rewards and discounts offered by health insurers and other organisations that collect consumer data, the ACCC is concerned that few consumers are fully informed of, fully understand, or can effectively control the scope of data collected when they sign up for or use such services. While the community rating system for private health insurance in Australia prohibits insurers from charging different private health insurance premiums to individual consumers based on health and other factors, the ACCC notes that the consumer data collected by wellbeing apps and reward schemes could be used for a number of other purposes, including for targeted marketing, including from third parties, and potentially to create insights that could be shared with or sold to third parties. And standing back, it seems to me that the system will continue to be under pressure, and actually, we think the whole model is frankly broken. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.